Perfect. Hi, hello everybody. I'm Logan Andy Morris, and welcome to episode 9 of Race and Refresh Happy Hour, titled Dirty Deeds. And are they done dirt cheap? That is the question. To answer those questions and more, let's bring in my co-host. He's back from a bit of a sabbatical, if you will. I'm talking about the best man, the man who's going to get married. He's going to need a best man. Am I in the running? Let's find out. Colin Best, let's bring him in.
You certainly are. Hello, I am back from the most magical place on earth doing my best BJ McLeod impression. My name is Colin Best, the senior open wheel writer for RacingRefresh.com. I'm wearing a hat because my hair is just god awful, but we're glad it's another happy hour edition. We got IndyCar this week. I got my notes right here. We're going to our first crown jewel event of the season, the Grand Prix of Long Beach. I can't wait.
That was one of the greatest intros we've ever had.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's bring in the show creator, yeah. Adam Carbine. Come on in. You keep this rowdy game together. Colin, I love you. Adam, how the hell are you?
I'm doing well, Logan. Thank you. Good to see you back, Colin. I'm happy I don't have to carry the weight of all the talking I had to do last week. So it's good to have you back, and congrats again on the engagement. Yeah, I don't think I can top that intro you had there, so I'm just going to shut up and let you keep going.
Well, look, I mean, sometimes you got it and sometimes you don't. And we're not saying you don't have it, Adam. It's that we haven't invented the art of talking, but we perfected it. And so we perfected it with a little thing we call piss and vinegar. And I'll tell you who else has perfected it. The one and only, our producer, my much better half. I'm talking about producer Peggy. Let's bring her in here. Peggy Lore. Because when you think talking, you think Peggy Lore. How
it's
are you?
My specialty.
How are you? Ryan Blaney almost got one. And Chase Briscoe said, hold my dirt track.
He'll catch a break someday, and I'll make sure you all hear about it.
Well, that's as long as you speak loudly enough, we're happy. So, with that, anyone else got any final words before we get into everything?
I don't think so. No, let's get her going.
All right, let's get this mother going, as they say. it's time for that. Isn't it time for that little weekend review right there? Isn't that what it's time for? Oh yeah! Oh that's yeah!
So beautiful.
Oh man, does it look gorgeous? Anywho. You'll have to pardon me for just a moment because I exited out my script and I didn't mean to. Got a lot going on over here.
We're live, folks. We're live.
Well, haven't you ever done that, Colin? Haven't you ever
done that? Yeah. My experiences were heard across 4 counties in Northwest Florida because I was on radio before. So, yeah, I know.
4 counties. All right. Joey Logano, one of the truck series, he dominated that Mamma Jamma. Colin, we're coming off Bristol Dirt one more time, but let's focus on the truck series for now. Credit to Logano. I mean, I think he led all of what, 12 laps maybe? So credit to Logano, and Thor Sport was strong as a whole. Of course, he was in a Thor Sport truck. It's kind of a one-off. So credit to them. But overall, this race was left a little bit desired in terms of watching, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I was certainly it reminded me of watching a Pocono race in mid-June. It was just boring. There wasn't a lot of action up front towards where Joey Logano was. Most of it was in the middle of the pack as people were fighting for position. It seems like the past, ever since this truck series race started on dirt, we had Cup Series guys dominate two out of three of those events. We had Martin Truex dominate in 2021. No, sorry, both events, 2021. And then 2022, a Truck Series guy won it. And then in 2023, Joey Logano dominated the entire event. So it's just, you know, one of these races where Cup guys come down to get some experience, and then they just dominate the field. There was nothing special about this race. But we have a lot to talk about going forward in the Cup Series. So that's really all you can say about this event.
I would agree. A couple other quote-unquote high spots. Caden Honeycutt had a good run. Norm Benning made the race, and that's huge for his team. We know how underfunded they are and how it's so hit and miss for him to make races. So that's great. Again, Thor Sport was extremely strong as an organization, so that's something to take note of. But there's not many ways we can analyze this bad boy, because it was the Joey Logano and Friends show. I mean, it couldn't have gotten more strong in the Joey Logano unless Michael Waltrip would have said the NASCAR Truck Series presented by Craftsman starring Joey Logano. It really couldn't have got any more clear than that. So, Adam proposed a good question in our ear. Should we let Cup Series regulars race in the Bristol Truck Race? I'll take that question first. I'm going to say, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, do I like it? Not really, but it adds more interest to the Truck Series, and for that matter, the Xfinity Series when those guys come down. And you need those eyes. Now, do I like when Kyle Busch or someone like that goes down and dominates? From an entertainment standpoint, no. I've made that very clear on any incarnation of this show that you can find. I don't care for it. But this is a business, and there's no denying that a name like Joey Logano or William Byron or most of the time Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr. did it a few years ago, they add a few more eyes to the lower series product. And God knows we need that. So do I enjoy it? Absolutely not. Do I think we should allow it? Absolutely. What say you, Mr. Best?
You know, it's no different than when a guy goes to Road America to get a couple laps under his belt before he takes the Sunday stage at the Cup Series race. I mean, Kyle Busch, when he goes down in Truck Series the past couple of times, he really hasn't dominated it because for some reason either everyone steps up when Kyle Busch enters the field or maybe that KBM truck just wasn't that good that night. certainly, I'm not speaking about Vegas, but this has been a couple of years where we've seen that happen. I have no problem with it. My only big problem with it is the Truck Series is full of either regulars in the Truck Series who have just figured out their lifers or they're very young. So outside of maybe the one-off like Ben Rhodes, if he gets the setup right, there's really no competition when you go to the Truck Series. If you're a Cup Series guy, it gets a little bit harder when you go to the Xfinity Series. And then when you're in the Cup Series, you know, there's like 18 guys who can win any single week. So I have no problem with it. It brought a lot of eyes to the Truck Series race more than an average weekend, but those eyes were either quickly shut or they quickly changed the channel based on the outcome of that race.
Well, at the end of the day, it's called a race. And so you can't predict how that's going to go. But yes, Joey Logano dominated that bad boy, and props to him. Good for him, and good for Thor Sport. We'll keep an eye on them as the season goes on. Next, let's go to our Cup race. Christopher Bell, old C. Bell, got it done. Easter Sunday. Finally, a dirt guy wins at the dirt race. We haven't seen that for Joey Logano won the mud puddle in year one, which was, I mean, God knows we love that. And then year two, who won last year? I just went blank.
Your favorite driver in the history of the world, Kyle Busch. Right.
Yeah, that's why I went blank, because I try to block those memories out. What can we say? We are a picture of mental health here at Racing Media Press. But so Christopher Bell gets it done. Finally, a dirt guy gets it done on dirt. and that's what we've been looking for. I will say this. This was the best dirt race we've had out of the three. Granted, again, year one left a lot to be desired. But Christopher Bell got it done Sunday. And let me give you a Loganity hot take. Right now, the best driver at Joe Gibbs Racing is not Denny Hamlin. It is not Martin Truex. It is certainly not Ty Gibbs right now. It is Christopher Bell. He's quickly coming into his own. And we might be on the verge of seeing the buddings of a very special career. We've seen him find something in the last 6 months or so. At the tail end of last season, all of a sudden he was Mr. He had ice water going through his veins. The Lakers game tying shot at the end of regular season last night had nothing on what Christopher Bell was pulling off. I think Christopher Bell right now is the best that Joe Gibbs Racing has to offer. I know it's a hot take. What are your thoughts on that proclamation from old crackpot over here? And what are your thoughts on the dirt race as a whole?
Well, out of the two drivers of the young stable, Ty Gibbs has certainly been consistent the past couple of weeks, but he's certainly not the best. But Ty Gibbs is solidly doing what rookies should do and learn and finish events, and that's what he's been doing. Christopher Bell, really since halfway of last season into this season, has been the best driver at Joe Gibbs Racing by far, followed by Denny Hamlin. I would put Ty Gibbs third, and I put Martin Truex Jr. last, considering the fact he did win a race this year, albeit was the clash at the Coliseum. But Martin Truex Jr. is on his way out the door. There's no one's really, you know, thinking, oh, he may come back. I think this might be his final swan song season. He'll just retire at the end of the year. I don't think he's going to be doing the Martin Truex Jr. retirement tour. I don't think we're going to get that. But certainly Christopher Bell has become the top tier Toyota driver outside of Tyler Reddick, which, you know, is no surprise to me. Christopher Bell was a generational talent. He's one of the guys like Kyle Larson who can get in anything and be absolutely fast in anything he gets. And so it doesn't surprise me that Christopher Bell is getting like this. It makes me happy to see that 20 car back in victory lane are running near the front more often, considering the history of that car. And as a Toyota fan, I get more so than you, where you're a legacy guy and I'm a Joe Gibbs guy. I think for me that this is the future that Joe Gibbs wants. It's not Ty Gibbs. It's certainly going to be Christopher Bell. As for the Cup Series race, it was a Toyota pretty much domination from the beginning. Tyler Reddick probably was the fastest car in the first probably 150 laps until Christopher Bell took over. You saw Bubba Wallace running up front. You saw Denny Hamlin. He got in some trouble. Martin Truex Jr. got in some trouble. So really the 2311 guys and Christopher Bell really stepped their game up this week, which is very happy to see. I think for those three guys, especially Bubba Wallace, who probably is the weakest on dirt among the three drivers in that Toyota camp I mentioned, who's the weakest. He was solidly in the top five for quite a little bit of that race. Certainly this was a better race than I think the first two races have ever been. I think we'll remember 2022 for the last lap pass that Kyle Busch was able to do. Certainly remember Logano for winning the first dirt race in, what, 50 years in the NASCAR Cup Series. But this race certainly could have come down to a memorable finish, but Ross Chastain decided to ruin that all for us as he was involved in a wreck that brought out a caution. So once again, 1 week from now, it seems like it is always Ross Chastain's fault, whether he causes the wreck or he is part of the wreck. It's always his fault. It's always going to be Ross Chastain's fault. But certainly it was a fantastic race. I was thoroughly entertained from start to finish. I do have questions about the future of the Bristol Dirt Race as a fan and the attendance, because this event, unlike the last two events, had probably the lowest attendance that we've ever seen at the Bristol Dirt Race so far. I think the novelty is wearing off. We might talk about it later. I can't remember our show notes right now, but the future of the Bristol Dirt Race is up in the air. After this race, but certainly I was entertained. This is by far one of the best races so far this early in the 2023 season.
Look, I think we ought to talk about it now, but first let's bring in Adam Carabine, whether he's ready or not. Let's bring him in. And I, because we got to get his thoughts on all of this, right? But you made some specific comments on Martin Truex Jr. And in case you don't know, Canadian carbine over there. Yeah, I mean, when he's not looking up stats on StatChat, when he's not hunting mooses out there, you know, when he's not running this website and putting out press releases, when he's not doing those things, he's one big MTJ guy. So I got to get your thoughts, Mr. Carbine, on number one, those comments. And then I want you to stick around for a question. We're going to talk Brussels Dirt's potential future, whether it should be around or not. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think this is Marty's last year? What are your thoughts? I think Seabell has eclipsed both Martin Truex and Denny Hamlin at the current moment of being the best Gibbs driver they have to offer. So there's a lot to unpack. Hit me with it one good time.
Well, first of all, Colin, how rude of you to just say that about MTJ. What did he ever do to you? He's a nice man. So I'm not impressed. Yeah, you are. Oh, you're falling over. You're so wrong. Well, I was just, you know, as you were going off there, I was doing a little research here. I don't necessarily disagree about Christopher Bell. He's now the points leader. You know, he's obviously been performing the best out of all the Joe Gibbs drivers this entire season. So I can't dispute that. But, you know, who has the second most points out of all the Joe Gibbs four is Martin Truex Jr. He's in second, followed very closely by Denny Hamlin. And while I guess expectations are lower for Ty Gibbs, he's currently eight points out of a playoff spot right now. And I know that's, you know, it's super early, but I think he's doing well as far as a rookie goes. But to say that he's eclipsed Martin Truex Jr. is just factually incorrect. So I'm going to have to disagree with you there, Colin.
Factually incorrect.
Colin, any rebuttal here before we move to our next topic?
Look, if I've learned anything from the great Skip Bayless, I'll tell you that stats don't matter as long as you pass the eye test, my friend. The eye test is more important. And Martin Truex Jr. to me is slow and geriatric. He needs to leave the Cup Series entirely and get some fresh new blood. Like, I can't think of anyone else in the Toyota ladder because they don't deserve it. But all jokes aside, I think Martin Truex Jr. is the weakest of the four. The points do reflect. Oh my gosh, there's things falling over. They're not going to sponsor me, so I'm not going to say anything. But anyway, even though he is seventh in the point standings, he's been consistent, but he hasn't been fighting for wins really the entirety of this season and the entirety of last season. And the Clash is the only exception to that claim. So for me, we passed the prime of Martin Truex Jr. I don't think he's going to win a race this year. I really don't. I even have all my picks listed out for racing refresh picks right here. And the 19 is not on any single one of them.
Well, you have to pick them at least once. So,
well, I don't have to pick them because I have 35 picks. Remember, we didn't do a show. Wait, no, we did our picks.
We got your picks in. Nice try. It's all right. I forgot to mention, I do think this could be Martin Truex's last year, but I wouldn't be surprised if I, you know, if we saw him move to a different team next year for like a one last hurrah sort of thing. I think it's his last year at Joe Gibbs Racing, but, I wouldn't be surprised if he gives it one last go somewhere else. So
look, if Kyle Busch going to RCR has proved anything, it's never say never. Gibbs for the first time ever feels a lot of uncertainty right now. I know they say that Denny isn't going anywhere, but we heard that with Kyle Busch, and obviously he's driving the 8 car. Martin Truex Jr.'s future is very up in the air. Christopher Bell and Ty Gibbs they might be the last two standing, so to speak. They're, for the first time in a long time, there's some genuine uncertainty about how is JGR going to look, not to mention – like every other owner in NASCAR, Coach isn't getting any younger, and who's going to take over the operation when Coach either can no longer do it or decides it's time to no longer do it? So, yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty. But speaking of uncertainty, see, you wonder where I was going, Adam. That's called a segue, my boy. And I ain't talking about them things you ride on the street. Speaking of uncertainty, the Bristol Dirt Race's future is uncertain as far as should it come back. Currently, NASCAR is non-committal to where it's going, if it's going to be on the schedule in 2024. And so I got to get your opinion. Yes, I did. Peyton and I did do a quick post show after Bristol Dirt. And I gave plenty of my thoughts on if it should be back. I'll give them in here in a moment. But first, Adam, I want to come to you. Should Bristol Dirt be on the schedule next year? Why or why not?
I don't hate the idea of racing on dirt for the Cup Series. I think it's kind of a fun little novelty. And, you know, as we have said many times on this show, NASCAR's brand is entertainment. And so I like the entertainment factor there, but I think I also just miss the concrete Bristol, you know? And so I'd be okay with maybe a stop at Eldora. I know we've kind of thrown that around before, or I'm not super familiar with dirt tracks around the country, but, you know, somewhere else that has maybe some semblance of infrastructure that could host a NASCAR Cup Series weekend. And then let Bristol have its concrete back. So keep Bristol with two dates, both concrete. That would be my pick. But I don't know. You know, NASCAR. Yeah, you can't deny that the stands looked pretty empty on Sunday. I don't know if that's because it was Easter, or if people are just less excited about this this kind of like dirt gimmick. I don't know. Yeah. I think something's got to change, but I don't know. I don't know. What say you, Colin?
In my opinion, I think the Bristol Dirt Race has outlived its welcome. I think it was a gimmick to begin with. I'm tired of, maybe this is my hot take, I'm tired of NASCAR trying to do gimmicks when there are perfectly good dirt tracks across the country to do it. In my opinion, they should just tear Bristol up and replace it and make it to the 2007 format of Bristol, the asphalt with the high bank. I think that would be a much more entertaining race and make that Bristol dirt race mean something. Bristol night race means something again, because there used to be a wait list, and I long are the days. Maybe I'm the old school NASCAR fan, but I think those days are never coming back where there'll ever be a wait list for Bristol Motor Speedway ever again. But I can certainly hope, and the moving in the right direction would be just tearing the whole thing up and making asphalt again. Eldora would be cool. You know, there's hundreds of dirt tracks across the country. I know that North Wilkesboro is not really building any new seats for their All-Star race. They're making that ticket mean something. You don't need a pack like 100,000 people into a dirt race, you can make 35,000 people show up and you can still put on a fantastic race. So in my mind, I wish you would move to a legitimate dirt track like Knoxville. I think, you know, they can probably put on a good dirt track race, or Eldora, or go out towards the Midwest, go out toward a market where it desperately needs it, because Kansas is the only place, but there are certainly many dirt tracks across the Midwest that absolutely can put on a fantastic show. So for me, this is probably the last Bristol dirt race. I'm probably going to be wrong on that, but I wish that 2024 can be different.
Do you think that the Cup Series belongs on a dirt track at least once over the course of the season?
Yeah, I see. I thought about this a lot today, because I saw the comments from Jonathan Davenport, the dirt track racer who filled in a one-off this week, and he complained that the Cup cars aren't really made to go on dirt. Well, no, duh. These cars aren't even made to go around road courses, let alone dirt ovals. Well, now they are, but you know, statistically, they're not really meant to go on road courses. They're meant to go on short tracks, mile and a half tracks, mile tracks, and turn left, not really go on dirt. And I used to say this about IndyCar a long time ago, that IndyCar had the most diverse schedule in any of the top three motorsports. Now they don't. They only go to ovals four times a year, three tracks, and they do doubleheader at one. The Cup Series has the most diverse schedule in all of motorsports. Road courses, super speedways, dirt tracks, street courses, ovals, short ovals, long ovals. It is currently, I believe, the 40 drivers on the Cup Series. Well, 40. Are technically the best drivers in any motorsport right now. I'll put them against IndyCar drivers and Formula One drivers. That you have to be good at every single place in order to win a championship. But if you want to be, if you're going to have a dirt oval in the regular season, you're going to have one in the playoffs, only because it makes that dirt race in the regular season more matter more, because in the playoffs, you have to be good everywhere to win the championship. If it's in the regular season and you just win, it doesn't mean anything, because you only have one dirt race a year. You will never do it again. So if you did it twice a year, one in the regular season, one in the playoffs, it'd make that championship mean a little more, I think.
All right, fellas, good discussion. I do want to get to the comments from Ryan Hill and Travis Knapper. Both of you, thank you for tuning in and commenting. Keep them coming. Travis says he'd like to see Bristol come back at least one more year. He said, I think given how this year was the best one yet, it deserves a chance to capitalize on that. Ryan said that Bristol Dirt wasn't kind to him this weekend. You know, parentheses, he's a Joey Logano fan. But he did enjoy it. He thought the racing was pretty solid this weekend. Those are fair comments. All right, let me get my thoughts.
Logano won the truck race. What more do you want there, Ryan?
Yeah, he'd probably like not a last place finish on the cup race. That'd probably be what he'd like. But look, here's my thoughts on this. I agree with Mr. Best. I think there is a place for dirt in NASCAR. I don't think the place is on Bristol. There's plenty of genuine, you know, every track is man-made, but less man-made dirt tracks that could get it done. Because look at it this way. Bristol is the step cousin of a crown jewel, especially that Saturday night race, right? Would we agree on that? Very close to a crown jewel. Not quite, but it dances.
Yep.
It gets there. That dog hunts. We wouldn't go throw dirt on Darlington. We wouldn't go throw dirt on Daytona. We wouldn't go throw dirt on the Indy Oval. Why aren't we showing the same reverence for Bristol? Ryan, you're never going to be happy. You are the second Eeyore of my life behind the producer of this show.
The only track where you can put dirt on it that would make it better is Richmond. Richmond would probably work, because of the lackluster racing we see at Richmond. Anywhere else, it wouldn't work.
I would agree with that, because here's the thing. Like I know the attendance for the spring race at Bristol wasn't good before the dirt. So I appreciate, you know, people say, well, it's a gimmick. Yeah, of course. Everything they do is a gimmick. Yeah. The shot clock in basketball is a gimmick. In the old days, you could just stand around and pass the ball for 3 minutes.
The pitch clock in baseball is a gimmick.
It is a gimmick, yeah. The halftime,
that's a conversation for a different day.
The halftime show at the Super Bowl is a gimmick. Oh, you like Rihanna, but you hate football? Tune on in. So everything is a gimmick. I'm not going to, you know, people say, well, it's a gimmick. Every sport is a damn gimmick. If you're on TV, you're in the entertainment business. I mean, that's just the way it is. But the thing about it is, Bristol is very close to a crown jewel. Bristol is a track with a ton of reverence, a ton of memories, a ton of iconic moments. You would not throw dirt. You wouldn't think of throwing dirt on any other track that even comes close. That is probably true, Travis. You wouldn't think of throwing dirt on any other historic racetrack. You wouldn't think of it. You'd say, what the hell are you thinking about? The drivers like the concrete. I'm not saying they don't like the dirt. The dirt did provide great racing this weekend, and I can appreciate that. And I appreciate the fact that it levels out the field as somebody that roots hard for a team that doesn't have the funds of others. But at the end of the day, Bristol, in a weird way, deserves better. If the show's good enough for a Saturday night short track that is damn near a crown jewel of this sport, it's good enough to have concrete twice. Now, I will say this. Because of the attendance concerns, maybe there were some people that went, well, if we don't fix it a little bit in the spring, then we've got to get rid of one of these dates. I'd rather have a dirt race than no second Bristol date. But in a perfect world, I think Colin is right. We can do dirt. I think that's great, and that's wonderful, and let's throw it back. No one loves nostalgia they didn't see more than me. Right here, old O'Gannady. But at the end of the day, Bristol is a place with reverence. Why are we putting a gimmick on that? Richmond deserves a gimmick. Atlanta deserved a gimmick. Yeah, but you know, Kentucky would have deserved a gimmick. Chicagoland would have deserved a gimmick. Why are we trying something with a place that if those walls could talk, the stories we could hear? Think about it. There are tons of track on the schedule that you don't know. You don't have great memories. And we're trying gimmicks. And really, we're doing it twice. Because Auto Club becoming another gimmick after some great racing at Auto Club. If it turns into a short track. Am I okay with it if it comes down to that or just one Bristol date? Yes, absolutely I am. I would rather have that. But I would like to see it go to a genuine dirt track. It's above my pay grade to know which one. I agree 100%, Ryan, that Bristol deserves two races. Please don't take one away. Bristol is the money in the bank in NASCAR. Ryan, Colin is a wrestling fan, so he gets what you're talking about. Money in the Bank is not quite Big Four, but it's real close. It's real close. You can make an argument it's bigger than Survivor Series right now. That's a discussion for a different show. I also wish we could get Kentucky back as someone that lives in someone lives in Columbus, Ohio. The Chicago street race, Ryan, is a gimmick. That it is. That's where we're at. I don't know. I just think that if Bristol is the reverent place we think it is, where the hashtag of the weekend, Adam, is it's Bristol, baby, then why are we gonna mess with it? You don't add a different seasoning to your favorite meal. You figure it out, and there it goes. You ever try something on your favorite meal? Guess what it does. If you did try it once, you went, that was okay. But it wasn't as good as it usually is. I'm going to go back to how it was. You ever try something new at your favorite restaurant? You give a point.
I think the argument to that, and I don't necessarily disagree with you.
Oh, here we come. Here we go. Devil's advocate. Here we are.
Is it wasn't necessarily proving to be, you know, the favorite race because the, you know, numbers were down for the spring race. And I applaud NASCAR when, you know, when things like this happen for them trying things that are outside the box, but I think it's time to move on from Bristol dirt and try something new. Cause I don't think this is working either.
Look,
yes.
Look, did we all three agree on something? Usually we can't.
No, agree
on
how to spell. I agree with
how to spell cat. If you spotted us a C in the A.
So look if Bristol did lose a date, it would be for Nashville Fairgrounds, and that'd be the only reason why, and it'd be the only reason that makes that place acceptable.
We can't have now, Colin. See, we
yes, so good. Yes,
so good. Bristol can't lose a date; it's too reverent.
The Bristol night race is important, not the Bristol spring race. If you took away the Bristol night race, more fans would be upset. But if you take the Bristol spring race and you move it to Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, that would be an organic short track on the schedule. Wouldn't it be Auto Club being a short track? It wouldn't be – you could do Nashville Fairgrounds, Iowa, which surprisingly has always put on great racing, even for the IndyCar series. It would be a hell of a lot better than the Bristol spring race. Iowa sells out for everything. Doesn't even matter what's there. The Fairgrounds Speedway would sell out immediately. If SRX could do it, the Cup Series could do it. So, but the thing is, no one's buying tickets to the spring race anymore. They're just not. No one cares. It's been like this for a very long time.
It's still, in my view, too reverent of a track to be messing with. But that's just my opinion. We got to move it along. What say you in the comments? Keep them coming. We will read them as we can. But now it is time. Now it is time to get a little happy. And I don't mean Harvick. Hit us, Peter, with that happy hour headlines. Come on. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, some not so happy news. We probably should have changed that headline for this. Cody Ware was arrested and definitely suspended for multiple charges that I'm not getting into all of that, strangulation, assault of a female. either way, not a good situation. Zane Smith is going to replace him this weekend in that 51 car. Either one of you gentlemen want to touch this situation with a 10-foot pole, because it's kind of yucky. Nope. All right.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one, you know.
All I'll say is this, and this is not a defense of anything. It's that I'll wait and see how the process plays out. That's all.
I'll say something. This is where the fans on Twitter and Facebook were like, why is NASCAR taking him out of the car? If you read the rule book, the NASCAR rule book, you can find it online. It's not like a secret document. It's like the Ark of the Covenant. You can look at it and you won't melt. All right. If you get arrested at any point in the NASCAR season, you are indefinitely suspended until the charge is clear or whatever. That's exactly. And NASCAR followed the rule book. They followed the rules, and this is what happens.
Yeah, we'll see how those charges play out. We wish everybody the best in that process.
Cody Ware has the right to due process, even if he has blocked me on Twitter. That's okay.
He blocked you on Twitter?
Yeah. But
Boy, you're not a bitter individual at all.
No, I'm saying he has the right to due process. The one thing that gives me a bit of pause is, like, he wasn't arrested until after the Bristol Dirt Race, but they still replaced him last minute in that. And so they knew something was coming. I don't know. Yeah. There's a little bit of, like, where there's smoke, there's fire there. But again, we have to wait and see.
Yeah, we'll see how it all plays out. But if all this is true, we probably don't ever see him in NASCAR again, because, let's be honest, number one, you probably shouldn't. But number two, he's not a big enough name to overcome this. His career could be over if these charges are true. All right, let's move to more positive news. Guess who's back again? Yes, William Clyde is back. Tell a friend. Chase Elliott is coming back. Martinsville this weekend. The golden boy, the prodigal son, the face of the sport. I mean, you talk about, look, I don't want to say something wrong here, but it's pretty appropriate that the face of the sport comes home after Easter weekend, huh? You get my how about that? Peyton made a – you could have just jumped on in. It's
your she could have just
– I don't like how NASCAR and Rick Ware Racing led us to believe he was struggling with mental health again, only for this to come out, I feel played. Ryan said NASCAR playing by their rules. Never heard of that. They do tend to pick and choose, don't they? We love you, NASCAR. Chase Elliott's back. The prodigal son returns. Opinions aside on Clutch Clyde, as he's a bit of a – he is a controversial name, because some people love him. Most people love him, but some people love to hate him because he is, they're a little contrarian. I know my boy Ryan's that way. This is great news for the sport. Ratings are down big time overall in what is essentially a contract year. And some of that may have been the Chase Elliott factor. Your opinion aside on Chase Elliott and his popularity, the sport needs Chase Elliott. Look, I'm not saying you couldn't, Ryan, but as a fan of the sport, we need Chase Elliott healthy, alive and well. He's back. Mr. Best, give me your thoughts.
So I have this little this chocolate bunny from Easter that I've been snacking on during my takes here. And it's a little tinfoil hat, if you see it. It's a little tinfoil. It's a conspiracy theory. Everyone loves their conspiracy theories, but I got one.
Oh, God.
Chase Elliott comes back a week early. Why does he come back a week early? Because who's filling in for Chase Elliott? Josh Berry, the short track star. Josh Berry would have dominated Martinsville. So in fear of Josh Berry dominating Martinsville, they bring Chase Elliott back. That way Chase Elliott doesn't think, hey, this guy could replace my seat. He's been running good. Maybe that's the reason why. I'm just saying, but he's more likely to damage his injured leg at Martinsville than I would believe he would be at Talladega, because you have to use both feet. And if he broke his left foot, that's his brake foot. So maybe he starts. I don't think he finishes 500 laps, but that's my little conspiracy theory. And we're about to see if your little this rating ship works. I mean, I'd be very surprised if 20% of viewers who turn out on an average every single week tune back in for Chase Elliott. It would be nice to see 20% viewership come back, but I think this is a sport. This is a issue for all sports, not just NASCAR. Everyone's ratings are going down. It's not just them.
Look, I think
it's a little too soon for them, to be honest.
Look, you're right about one thing. He will not be running 500 laps. He will be running 400 laps because it's a 400.
Oh man, I forgot.
So I'll be doggone. The crackpot himself, Colin Best, was correct. Look, I don't think they would allow Chase Elliott to get in there if he wasn't ready to go. That's just the way I feel about it. I'm not saying he's quite 100%, but I think if he was in real danger of hurting himself, probably not. I'm sure he's still a little tender, but at some point you got to buck up and get in it. And frankly, let's be honest and let's move right along. They might need him to come see what's going on because another set of hindered penalties this time will not be appealed. Bowman and Byron each dock 60 points. Apparently, once Chase Elliott leaves the door, so does morality at Hendrick Motorsports because they have been cheating like Charlie Sheen on a bender.
Wow.
Because, my goodness, are they just getting caught every other which way? Now, they did appeal, and, hey, that worked out great for them, but colleague would like their lawyer. So thoughts on the penalties, Mr. Stat Chat?
Well, first of all, I hate to ruin your thunder here, Logan. I have my own conspiracy theory about Chase Elliott that I love it. I don't have the tinfoil hat, although I wish I did, but, how about NASCAR rushing Chase Elliott back a little early to take a little, attention away from the Cody Ware situation, because it's not a great look on NASCAR, and the prodigal son comes back and, you know, all is forgiven and forgotten in 51 land, and number nine. I don't know, that's my little conspiracy theory.
It's only conspiracy if he wins.
Yeah, there you go. That's that'll be interesting. But then he'll win, and then they'll take his car to R&D and find there was something illegal and give him more penalties. Oh,
if he wins at a party, he knows what kind of messages he's getting in his inbox from me. I'm not going to get into it on this show. No.
I will get onto this the penalties here. Hendrick has announced that they're not going to appeal this. I don't know if that's because they know they done something bad, or if you believe their statement where they said basically, you know, this is going to take up too much time, and we want to just focus on the races themselves. So, but they have said they're not going to appeal it, and so yeah, Bowman and Byron each get docked 60 points. It's pretty hefty fine there. I don't know. Are they just, you know? There was some, I saw something interesting actually on Bob Pockris's Twitter, because people were asking, like, how interesting that the week after they win their appeal, NASCAR just happens to randomly choose Bowman and Byron to take their cars to R&D to, you know, kind of really break them down. And Bob Pockris mentioned on Twitter that, you know, it seemed like normally it's just a random choice, and this time NASCAR said it was their choice to bring those two. So I don't know if that's like a revenge sort of thing, but I don't know.
They're getting their points. They're getting their points.
Well, this is NASCAR. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. We of course all know the Jeff Gordon, Ray Emerham stories. That's just the way it kind of goes. I'm not saying that's okay, but I'm saying every team in the garage is pushing the envelope. Apparently, HMS is pushing a little too much. Hopefully, they dial that back down, because it's really hurting rednecks and their Toyota conspiracy. damn, cheating Toyotas.
It's those really, Yoders.
Those damn Yoders, man.
Those damn Yoders.
I love this show.
Damn, Kyle Busch and his Yoders. Denny Hamlin's. Martin Truex Jr. is fine, but damn Ty Gibbs. They sound like they took your dad.
Oh God, him cheating Yoders. Anywho, it's time for what the hell is it time for? It's time to quit talking about the Yoders. It's time for a weekend preview. I love that little Mario style. You know, Mario's back in business here with the Super Mario Brothers movie. Boy, we.
Oh, dude, it was such a great movie.
We're up on it. We're up on it. I'm too busy stocking out the Yoders. But anywho, NASCAR Cup and Xfinity at Trucks, they're at Martinsville. And Adam, we already have a senior open wheel guy, so I'm not going to come to him for this. But what do you say about Martinsville?
I'm curious to see how the new short track package goes at Martinsville. I know we've seen it already, but I'm not sold that it's like the savior of the short track package. So I'm curious to see how that looks, at least on the Cup Series side. But I mean, any weekend when there's NASCAR racing, I'm pleased. So I'm looking forward to it regardless.
Amen to that. 400 lappers. Boys, I got to get your thoughts. And Napper and Ryan, you can tell us as well. Anyone else in the comments? What do you think of it being a 400-mile race again? I know that was last year, and they tried that out. What do you think of it? NASCAR, I said 400 lap, pardon me. NASCAR traditionally at Martinsville has always been a 500-mile event. Of course, it will be again in the second last race of the season. Well, what do you think about 400 laps in Martinsville as opposed to 500? Colin, I'll come to you first.
Honestly, I think it's great. I think, you know, during the regular season, especially when you go to races twice in one year, you make the races different each year. You know, the spring race is going to be 400 laps. It's not, you know, it's not that prestigious as, you know, that the race in the fall is going to be. But I'm certainly happy with it nonetheless. I think there are many races across the schedule that you can think, you know, maybe this shouldn't be 500 miles. I'm looking at you, Texas Motor Speedway, because you suck so bad. But that's a topic for another day. But hey, you know, that Texas race, if it was 500 miles long, I'd probably not be as interested. But if it was 400 miles, I'd be like, yeah, I can get through it in 3 hours. But, you know, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with Martinsville being 300 laps, 400 laps, five. It can be 600. Hell, we can even do 12 hours of Martinsville. I'd be happy if we did 12 hours of Martinsville. That'd be so much fun. We'd be live the entire time.
How is the founder still around for every mistake or slip of the tongue I ever make? I mean, this guy over here is busy with other things, and yet every time I have a little slip of the tongue, this man hosted some variation of this show for years. He know how easy it is to, I'll be doggone, make a little slip of the tongue. I even corrected myself like 10 seconds later, but it wasn't good enough.
I'm just happy he's not putting his sponsors in the comment section, because you know he just likes to rattle those off like, well, it's like hanging out business cards.
Give him time. We love you too. Is he kind of founder and chairman? That's what I want to keep calling him. But founder.
He's like the Vince McMahon. He's Vince. Yeah. He's just Vince.
He's just Vince.
He's gonna come back with a mustache and like,
yeah.
Yeah, he's gonna look like Tony Stark's dad.
Yeah. Gomez appeal. That's what we're looking forward to here on Racing to Refresh Happy Hour. If any of you Adams family folks. All right. So it's a good thing he tuned in, because the NHRA is in Las Vegas. Tell me about it, Adam.
Well, it's a unique event. Las Vegas, they do four wide racing, I guess you could call it. They do their passes. Usually for NHRA, it's just two cars going at once. And in Las Vegas, they're running four wide. And something that's kind of exciting is our very own Crystal Clay is going to be there live. She is a Las Vegas resident, and she will be there to be covering the weekend. So we can look forward to possibly some content from her next week on the show, too.
Look, we'd look forward to that. It's nice to see that the NHRA is going Noah's Ark style. Everybody loves a nice 2x2.
Yeah.
So if you didn't laugh at that, something's wrong with you. Check your engine. Give it some gas. All right. Now, Colin, it's your turn, Mr. Senior Open Wheel Rider. Indy is at Long Beach. Talk to me, my brother.
Oh, it's one of the best races of the year. The glitz, the glamour, the fountains, the hairpin. It's beautiful scenes in Long Beach, California. We are now on the third race of the year. The season started 2 months ago. We're already race three in. It's, you know, whatever. It's just a conversation for another show. We'll talk about it later. But, hey, we're quickly approaching the month of May. This is certainly one of the, like I said, the crown jewel event that really leads into the sort of the big stretch of the season as April, May, and June comes along. Very excited to get back to writing this week, as you know, I've been on vacation and I haven't really done any of that. So the full race preview will be out by Friday for Long Beach. The race review will be out on Monday following that, and we can catch all my thoughts after the race at this time next week, next Wednesday. So come back for that as well. But I'm going to pick a winner so far this week. I'm going to say Joseph Newgarden goes 2 for 2. He won at Texas. He's going to get the win at Long Beach, and he's going to solidify himself as an early favorite to win the Astor Cup by September.
Look, speaking of Long Beach, IMSA is also at Long Beach. You got anything on that, Mr. Best?
It's a very short track, and all classes of the IMSA series will be at Long Beach. I've currently already was on iRacing before this, and I got ran over by a BMW. So it's just fantastic to know that in virtual life, real life shines through. Art always imitates life, my friend. But I'm very excited to see how those new BMW V8 hybrids perform on the short track. I think they're going to break a track record this week. It's really up in the air if they will or not, because there are going to be two different types of rubber laid down. And also, if there's rubber concerns, Formula Drift was already there this past weekend, so that rubber section through the hairpin is already going to be laid with rubber, so there's going to be no grip there. And also, stadium trucks are also at Long Beach as well. So it's going to be an action-packed weekend if you're in Southern California in AJ Appeal Land.
Look, everybody loves AJ Appeal Land. You can go to Disneyland all you want to, but there's nothing
Disneyland, like Universal. That's where The Rookie is filmed or something. I don't know.
But there's nothing like hanging out with AJ Appeal in California and getting a nice ice cream. He loves that ice cream. These ice cream parlors keeps calling me, and every time he's getting a little bit of the cream. Anywho, he says all racing all the time out here in SoCal, all racing and all ice cream, right, buddy? All right. Anywho, it's time to review. Or he said he just had ice cream. It's time to review and make a few racing refresh picks. Hit me with it, Peter. Maybe not.
Hey, look at that. So beautiful.
We got to get a cricket soundboard or something when she gets a little slow on the draw. That'll get her going. So, Adam, you're the scorekeeper.
Yeah,
of the whole thing. How we doing?
I'm keeping score here. Let me tell you, we have a racing refresh picks first for this season. Our lovely producer Peyton picked the winner of the Bristol Dirt Race. She picked Christopher Bell. And magically that just shows up on screen. I don't know how this something's going on here.
Well, let's call her in here. Let's get her thoughts. Come on in here. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Congratulations.
Oh, yeah.
What are your thoughts? C-Bell, getting it done.
I really didn't think he was going to win. I just...
You can never kayfabe in your life. Anywho, go ahead, Adam.
Very well, yes. So, I'm just pleased that I didn't come last for a change. I came second to last. Unfortunately, Colin, your JJ Yaley pick, he qualified well, but he didn't, he couldn't bring it home for you. So,
I was doing really good. I was like so excited. I was like, oh my God, JJ Yaley's gonna do it. And
Is that scoreboard correct? Does that mean that my better half and I,
yeah, you guys are leading?
Yeah, you're tied. These two are tied right here.
You guys are getting power coupled.
Yeah, we really are.
At least no one has a zero. No one has a goose.
That's true.
Egg,
so. Well, yep.
Peter, I'll be dipped in manure. They're getting power coupled.
So, Colin, you get to pick first for Martinsville. Who you got this week?
Even though I look like BJ McLeod this week, I'm not going to pick him. Statistically, there's no possible way. If you check out the stat chat for this weekend, BJ McLeod has like a 0.0069% chance of winning. I guess.
I love that. I love the fact that means you actually thought about taking him this week, though.
You did consider. I did
consider it, because I'm eventually going to have to pick him eventually. But I'm actually going to go for the win here. And statistically, Martinsville is his best track. Give me Bubba Wallace to win this week at Martinsville.
Wow, very good.
I feel like I took some pick.
Just, you know what? I was on the fence about this. I'm picking next here. I, just to spite Colin, I'm going to pick Martin Truex Jr.
Oh, bummer.
They named it after him.
I thought you were going to do BJ McCloud. I was like, yeah, dude, do it.
No, Martin Truex Jr., they named the place after him. He's going to come home with another grandfather clock. Mr. Logan, you picked Tyler Reddick last week. He came second. It was very close. You know, you were right there. But what do you got this week?
Look, every prediction I make is great. That doesn't mean they're all correct. There's a difference. So I'm going to stay in the T category. Why not one Ty Gibbs?
Mm.
Interesting. Yes. And
those dang Yoders.
Producer Peggy, who you got at Martinsville this week?
I'm gonna take Almirola.
Eric Almirola. All right, well, you'll have to tune in next week to see if Colin and I can get out of the basement. And yeah, I don't know what Colin's doing, but it's pick you. Yeah, it's gonna be you winning next week. Yeah,
guaranteed.
I'm due here for a little sunshine, but we'll see.
So are the Yoders.
Yeah,
those dang Yoders.
I picked a Yoder. So is that how you say that? I'm not familiar with the Southern vernacular.
I also picked a Yoder.
Look, as the southernmost person here who lives in Florida, it's a Yoder. Yoda. Okay. No, the Toyota.
Well, you see, I picked. Here you go. I got a good one for you guys. I picked a Yoda in Martin Truex Jr. and Logan picked Baby Yoda with Ty.
beautiful.
Thank you.
I'll be here all night.
Hey, well, up and out of it again. All right, I'll tell you. All righty. Well, it's a look, every show's got to end, and this has been a wonderful one. But to have another wonderful episode, we have to end this episode. So that means it's time for a little closing time. A little tribute to the founder that is tuning in, working on his ice cream.
Wonder the what chairman.
Flavor. Wonder what flavor. Grilling
his mustache.
Yeah. Wonder what flavor he's working on over there. A little ice cream flavor. Because he's not like me. You know, I'm pretty bland. I'm a vanilla guy. Anywho, it's closing time. So it's time for some final words. Colin, you got a lot of content coming up this week. I'll start with you.
Yeah, this week you'll see an IndyCar preview for the Grand Prix of Long Beach. I'm very excited IndyCar is coming back on a now somewhat regular basis going forward. It gives me something to talk about. F1 is off this week, so enjoy it. They'll be back in Azerbaijan at the end of April, so, you know, that'll be something fun. But, you know, I have to be reminiscent, and I'm going to take off my BJ McCloud hat, which is actually a Baltimore Orioles hat, but that's something for a later day, because as you guys know, I was gone. So I'm going to take this moment. I'm going to say I am the luckiest man in the world besides Logan because he's with, how do I do this? This person right here. I'm going to just thank my fiance. A lot of people have been telling her congratulations, but no, a lot of people have been telling me congratulations, but a lot of people have been telling her I am so sorry for your loss. So for the next, you know, about a year, we're going to be planning a wedding. Every single one in this room is going to be an invite to that wedding. So all of you can come down to sunny Pensacola, Florida and join me here. We can all drink a lot of beer and make fun of them damn Yoders. And with that, enjoy the race weekend, folks, and follow us on Racing Refresh. Follow us on our socials at TheColinBest, RacingRefresh.com, Racing Refresh Facebook. And also, I'll just shout out here, AJ Appeal has something special coming to the website sometime soon, and you may be mad at the first five. Who knows? But that's all I'm going to say. Take care and enjoy your ice cream. BJ McCloud, out.
BJ McCloud, out. My God, look, oh my goodness. Boy, my man Harry Cox is a nice guy. My man Harry Cox is a nice guy. I'm glad that, fantastic. Well, look, you can go suck a softball through a straw. Any final words, Mr. Carabine?
Easy there, Logan. It's a family show. It's a family show here. Racing Refresh Happy Hour. Yeah, I was going to touch on, we got AJ Appeal's grand return to Racing Refresh just for a little segment he'll be working on for the next little while as he's counting down his 75 most significant racers in NASCAR history. which is a nod to NASCAR's 75th anniversary. So you can keep it locked at racingrefresh.com to find some of that. And yes, I do hear the drivers 71 through 75 might be a little controversial. So maybe check that out.
Look, there's nothing more controversial than our comments right now. It's a lot of fun stuff. Anywho, with that, look. Oh, they hate us because they ate us. Anywho.
Can you share me one? Because I can't. I don't have a thing. I'm just doing this on my.
Yeah. Well, we'll save it for later. It's not.
I'm going to have to go find it. Oh,
yeah. It's,
hold on.
It's pretty rough.
We better wrap things up here.
It's pretty rough, but it's nice to know he won the spelling bee. That's fantastic. Anywho, we wish you, and that includes you, Mr. Cox, a lovely, lovely evening. Hope you enjoy Martinsville. And we hope you enjoyed this lovely show.
Oh, my gosh. Who's that?
That AJ Appeals music?
Oh, my goodness.
By God. By God, it's AJ Appeals music.
Oh, can you hear him?
They got me.
Yeah, we got you.
Oh my God, it's Crispin Wall.
Hello. Hello there. I'm sorry. I don't mean to totally hijack things, but there's a significant delay in audio. So kudos. I can say a couple of things sometimes that I didn't used to be able to say, but there's also new things now that I can't say that, in the words of the great Bob Dylan, I used to could. And I just want to say I love you all, and hi, and the show is great. And also, Logan, you're the first person in Refresh history to ever say Harry Cox. So that's just great.
That's what I was here for.
AJ, out.
The cowboy hat, the glasses. Are you sure he's in California right now? He looks like he's in Texas.
He might be heading down to Texas. So, anywho, this has been a lovely end of the show.
Oh, God.
Well, in the words of the great Heisenberg, day my name. So.
Yes. Look, what day is it? It's time for him to, in my personal opinion, go someplace. So we wish you well, Mr. Cox, and we wish all of you well for tuning in. Ryan, Travis, the whole nine, and... we hope that you're back next week, Mr. Cox, because we're here every Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30, if you need something to do besides go look at your closet. I'll see you later. I'm gone.